The new year is here, so that means NFL playoffs. Wild Card Weekend kicks off Saturday with the Buffalo Bills playing the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans tangling with the New England Patriots, who did not get a bye because they kind of folded, frankly, last weekend. Where was I? Oh, there are two more games Sunday, the Minnesota Vikings and New Orleans Saints, and the Seattle Seahawks playing the Eagles in Philadelphia. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Mike, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You seem a little bitter, Robin. Well, all this Patriot success not good enough for you?
Well, you know, the fact that the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots are playing, you know, for a spot is unusual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have never won the Super Bowl without a bye, so things are looking down for the greatest team of the decade.
Well, what else intrigues you about this playoff weekend?
Well, very interesting. The last game of the regular season, the night game on Sunday, was the Seahawks against the 49ers, and the stakes were odd. Whoever won that game was going to get the number one seed, a bye, the entire playoffs would run through them, and whoever lost that game wasn't going to just get the number two seed or a bye, and it turned out being the Seahawks. They are going on the road to play the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know about the NFC East, it was a legendarily and historically bad conference. Someone had to win. It was the Eagles. But the odd thing is the Seahawks are so hurt, and the Eagles are hurt too. It'll come down to which MASH unit of a team will be more able to reach their feet. But the Seahawks are so hurt that a lot of, even though they're slight favorites, there's a lot of advanced analytics saying the Eagles could win that game. And the Seahawks were rolling around on the half-inch line about to earn a bye, and instead they're going into Philadelphia as almost an underdog.
Yeah, so, okay, there's that. Well, look, we want to ask you while we're with the NFL that the New York Times ran a recent piece that noted the lack of African-American or minority coaches in the league. Where about three-quarters of the players are black. Several coaches have been fired. What's going on?
Well, you'd have to say that a big reason is that there are zero black owners and two black GMs, the people who do the hiring and ultimately their bosses. Also, the pipeline for coaches usually these days goes through the position of offensive coordinator. Everyone wants the next offensive genius to be their coach, and black coaches, black assistant coaches, have been hired at that position at far less frequent rate than white coaches, and a less frequent rate than they've been hired to be other positions on the team. And that has to do with a lot of things, but I think it has to do with the who's doing the hiring, first of all, and perceptions of black coaches. There was a time when the NFL was making a lot of progress on this. There was something called the Rooney Rule. You had to interview black coaches. The idea was just get them in the room with the decision makers. Good things will work out. It's the NFL now is realizing that's not enough.
Yeah, we need to do more. We have to ask you, Mike, staying with football, you had a great commentary this morning on Morning Edition on all the bowl games, including the Makers Wanted Bowl. Now, Makers Wanted, you explain, is the slogan of the town of Elks Grove Village outside Chicago. It's to attract business. The mayor had this wacky idea, hey, why don't I buy a bowl? I wondered when you were saying this, well, why didn't they just pay to call it the Elks Grove Village Bowl? But that mayor was crazy like a fox because I Googled it.
Yes. And that's right. I did too. And I was like, is this some sort of whiskey Makers Wanted?
Right.
And then you find out it's a village and you say, what is going on? And that's exactly what.
Exactly.
Right. So this is right outside of O'Hare Airport, and they have a big industrial park. And you know who watches bowl games? I guess captains of industry, or at least a few people who are thinking of relocating their companies. And it worked. You know, they said last year they got a major travel stop based on the fact that the owner of this company was watching the Makers Wanted bowl game and said, what's that? Oh, I'm going to move my company there.
And they just the mayor thought, if I put my name on it, nobody will Google. If I put that on, everyone will Google. And they did. Okay.
That's right.
We have some passings to note. Former NBA Commissioner David Stern at 77 after a brain hemorrhage. Just how do you think he's being remembered?
I think, along with Pete Rozelle, the most important executives in professional sports history in the United States. You could put a couple other early baseball pioneers, but he took the NBA from a league where the championship game wasn't even aired in prime time, and he took that to this place of international dominance. It's the most popular and rising game, not as popular as soccer, but in terms of expansion, the NBA is it. And it was David Stern's far-reaching vision. You can't say enough about his savvy as a business executive. Mm-hmm. Along the way, there were missteps and he perceived the viewer, the American viewer, to be mostly a moneyed white person. He was a little upset with players having tattoos and violence in the game. But, you know, I think a lot about the executives of his time and his era, and there's been an evolution with a lot of the way people think. And David Stern is so smart that maybe if he were an executive today, he'd have a different stance on those things. And also, Adam Silver, widely regarded as the best commissioner in sports, the NBA commissioner now, he was his right-hand man for many years. So some of that legacy, much of that legacy, lives on just in the position and the entire tone of the league. He deserves a lot of credit.
One last note. Former Major League pitcher Don Larsen died yesterday at 90. He threw the only perfect game in World Series history, 27 Brooklyn Dodgers batters up, 27 Dodgers batters down. Otherwise, he had an unremarkable career. That one day with the Yankees. We want to note him as well. Mike Pesca, here now, sports analyst who also hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.